Luke's Gospel, please, chapter 19. For our second reading today, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. As we continue looking at the last days of Christ. Last week we began by looking at the conversion of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who was lying there beside the road. This morning we come then to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 1. Today we will be looking at the conversion of Zacchaeus. Verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word. You know, it's interesting whenever you hear a word of testimony. Maybe, like myself, you enjoy hearing different ones as they will come and bring a word of testimony of how the Lord saved them. They will testify of what their lives used to be. Maybe the depths of sin that they were in. Maybe for the many years that they were involved in flying in the face of God. How the Lord went after them and how the Lord saved them. You know, one thing about testimonies is that no two are the same. If I was just to ask everyone to give a word of testimony, no one would say the exact same as the person beside them. Because everyone is from different backgrounds, everyone's different age and saved at different times in their lives. And so too it was in the days when the Lord was on his final journey. Because just as it is for us today, that the only similarity between all of the words of testimony that would be given is Christ. That's the one constant in all testimonies of saving grace in the life of a man or a woman, is that Christ entered in. So too it was in the days when the Lord walked upon this earth. Last week we looked at Bartimaeus. He met with the Lord in the road into Jericho. And there he was lying beside that road, blind, begging for that help each and every day. And that day, as the Lord walked past, the Lord had mercy upon him and stopped. Not only opened his eyes physically, but opened his eyes spiritually. And saved his soul. This week we will look at Zacchaeus. He met with Jesus on the road out of Jericho. You know, it's interesting just to note the locations. One man met him on the road into. One man met him on the road out of. No man met him in Jericho. See, Jericho was a city which was cursed. You remember in the Old Testament, whenever Joshua and the Israelites came into the Promised Land, and the River Jordan came back, the first city they came up against was Jericho. They walked around it those six times, and then they were given that instruction in the seventh day, walk around it six times, and then shout with the great shout. They shouted, the walls fell down flat, they defeated the army, they defeated the land, and then what did Joshua say? Joshua 6:26. Joshua adjured at them that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city of Jericho. this was a city with God's curse upon it. And you can study it there in 1 Kings 16 at the very end of it, just before the time of Elijah's ministry starts. And there was two that built up the city, Hiel and another man, and the two of them together, what happened? They built it upon their sons. The curse was this: you rise it up, you'll build the foundations upon the son, upon your life, upon the life of your son. That's what happened. This city was never to be built again, but yet there was those two men flying in the face of God, who had built that land, who had built that city up at that time. And here was the Lord in his final journey. He had mercy upon Bartimaeus outside of the city on one side, and then he went through the city, never saved one in the city, but then on the other side he stopped with Zacchaeus. Christ could have walked on past. Christ could have taken a different route. He could have bypassed the city of Jericho altogether. But he didn't. Verse 10 tells us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And there was Bartimaeus lost. Needed the Lord's intervention in his life, and the Lord had mercy upon him. There is Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus is lost. Needed the Lord's intervention, and the Lord met with him. Three things I want to leave with you in relation to Zacchaeus this morning. How the Lord gloriously and wondrously saved him. I want you to see firstly in the verses 2 and 3 the intention of Zacchaeus. The intention of Zacchaeus. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief amongst the publicans. He was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was a man of authority. Zacchaeus was a man of great wealth, great possessions. Zacchaeus was a man who was ruthless in the workplace. He had risen through the ranks. He had started at the bottom just as a normal publican, sitting at the seat of custom, just like Matthew the disciple. And here he was, and he had risen through the ranks. Such was his ruthlessness. Such was his greed. Such was that desire. Such was that lust for power. It didn't matter the family. It didn't matter their circumstances. He was ruthless. Publicans were men with no morals or loyalties. They were Jewish men, but they worked for the enemy, the Romans. The Romans came in and invaded, took over the nation of Israel, took over that land. They employed these Jewish men, go around and lift the custom, lift the taxes off each and every one, and bring me the money. Zacchaeus went, okay. Zacchaeus then would go around the houses. Say a person owed £100, he would say, by the way, you owe 500. You owe 400. 100 went to the Romans. The rest went in his pocket. The Romans didn't care as long as they got what was due to them. It didn't matter to them how much the rest got and how much they took home with them. And here he was, this man of authority, this man of money, and all he lusted for was greed, and all he lusted for was the possessions, for the material wealth, and for the joy of having the coinage, having the gold in his house. It didn't matter if it was a widow. No income. He'd take other things from the house there. But yet with all of his authority, all of the money, the material possessions, he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't content. All of the money sitting there in the coffers, all of that wealth, all of everything that he had, he was one who was looked up to by the publicans. He was one who was looked down at by the rest because they hated him for who he was. But there he was with all of his importance, with his fame in the area, but he wasn't content. He needed something else. You see, men and women, boys and girls, it doesn't matter how much of the world you can have in your possession. It'll never content you. You'll never have peace. Doesn't matter if you have the biggest bank balance in the entire land of Northern Ireland. It doesn't matter if you make the rich list, or it doesn't matter if you have the biggest house with everything to go with it. You will never be content. Never. Zacchaeus, he heard that news. Jesus was passing. He had heard of Jesus. You know, it's interesting when you think of it. One of the disciples, Matthew, was a tax collector. The Lord had called him. The Lord said, "Follow me." Matthew, sitting there at the seat of custom, taking in all of the money, he left it all. He followed Jesus. Remember, he had one final gathering with his work colleagues. He brought them round and he told them, "I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving it all up." I'm sure Zacchaeus would have heard about it. He was in charge, remember? Can you imagine Zacchaeus that day as he thought, "Why would anyone leave this job? Why would anyone give up what we have? Look at how wonderful it is. All we have to do is give a wee bit to the Romans and we can keep the rest. Why would anyone give that up to follow some man called Jesus?" Then came this day whenever the opportunity was presented to him. Jesus Christ is passing through Jericho. That day, Zacchaeus, I'm sure he had his calls, I'm sure he had those home visits to do, those businesses to go to. But that day, he shut up shop early. He said, "No, I'm going to take this day, I'm going to take this afternoon off, I'm going to close up those clients that I need to see, I'll leave them for another time. Today, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to make that effort. I'm going to go and see who this man is, what he looks like." You know, you may be sitting there thinking, "Isn't that great? It's wonderful. Here was a man with no morals. Here was a man who was greedy. Here was a man who stole. Here was a man who had no care for anyone apart from himself. And he wants to see Jesus. Isn't that wonderful?" You know, to a point it was, but here's the problem. He only wanted to see Jesus. He didn't want to meet him. He only wanted to see who he was. He was quite happy to come that day. He was quite happy to stand there in that crowd to watch as the Lord Jesus Christ, as he would walk past. He was quite happy to see what was going to happen, to see how it affected the community, how it affected the people in that crowd. He was quite happy to be able to say, "I was there." Then he was going to go back to his job the next day. "I'll have my little bit. I'll enjoy it for that day. And I'll go along and I'll see Jesus and I'll see what they're all talking about. No, I don't want to meet him. I just want to see him and then I'll go back. I'd be able to say I was part of that crowd. I'll go back to my old ways tomorrow. I'll go and get those clients tomorrow. Go back to the day job. Go back to robbing the people. Go back to lining my own pockets. But for one day I can say I had the experience. I was there." You know, there are many today, and that's what church is to them. That's what religion is to many in this land today. It's an experience. It's a case of saying, "Oh, I was there. Yes, I was there. I went along and I was there and I sang the hymns. And oh, isn't it enough? I was there. I went to church. I sang the hymns. I listened. And all of the other things that went along with church, I did it. But the rest of the week, that's mine. I'll do what I want. But I can say I was there on Sunday. I can say I have my religion, I have my church, but I also have my own life with my own sins. Monday through to Saturday night, I'll do what I want. But Sunday, I've got my little bit. Men, women, boys and girls, it's wonderful to see each and every one in the house of the Lord. It's an answer to prayer each and every Sunday when men and women come in under the sound of God's word. But just coming here for the hour, it isn't enough. Coming here twice on a Sunday, it isn't enough. You have to meet Jesus. Not enough just to see Christ being presented to you on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night. You must meet with Him. Benjamin Franklin was one of the greatest inventors that America had ever seen. Benjamin Franklin also had a very great respect for the preacher George Whitefield. Any time that Whitefield crossed the Atlantic and went to America, Benjamin Franklin would make sure he was there. George Whitefield was a man who was renowned for his great oratory skills. He could stand in a field with literally tens of thousands there in the field, and George Whitefield could preach, and every single one heard him. No microphones in those days. None had been invented. Benjamin Franklin would go along. George Whitefield, that great man of God, and all of the power that he had in preaching. As he's standing up the front of that field in the little box or whatever the platform was that he took, and he's preaching out, George Whitefield, or Benjamin Franklin would be there in the crowd, but he'd be down on his knees and he'd be sitting writing. You know what he was doing? He was doing maths. He was doing a calculation to work out how many people heard him that day. He's sitting measuring how many went one way and how many went the other way in the field. And instead of actually listening to the sermons and instead of meeting with Jesus, Benjamin Franklin, what did he want? He only wanted to see, just to see George Whitefield. Just to say, I'd listen to him preach. But he didn't want to meet George Whitefield's Savior. Zacchaeus, he only wanted to see the Lord. Didn't want to meet them. He comes to the road that day and it's full of people. He's only a little fella. All these big ones are in front of him. He couldn't see a thing. So he makes his way and he realizes the road that the Lord is walking down, and he realizes, if I take this shortcut and if I come round the other side, that's the road the Lord's going out. So if I get on down that road and if I find a good vantage point, I'll do that. So he runs down the road. He comes round the corner, as it were, and he finds this sycamore tree. He climbs up into it, and he's there, and he's up in the branches of the tree, and he's looking down the road, and he can see everything. See the Lord as he's walking. He's everything he wants. I wanted to see Jesus today, and I can see him. He's walking down the road towards me. But he's still not saved. He could have stayed in that tree and then got out after the Lord passed, and he would have went back to his work, and he would have been lost. The intention of Zacchaeus. At the end of verse 5, I want you to see the invitation to Zacchaeus. Jesus came to his place and he looked up and he saw him. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know one thing I love about testimonies? It's to trace the hand of God in the door. Person's testimony, and it doesn't matter what age that person is given the testimony, but how the Lord's hand, he can trace it in the word of testimony. How the Lord brought them to a certain place. Maybe it was a child being brought up in a Christian home, or maybe it was a man in the street and he decided and he took a road one night and it brought him past a certain church, and he went in and he heard the gospel just like Spurgeon. It's no different and Zacchaeus. It wasn't by chance that Zacchaeus heard of Christ coming. It wasn't by chance that Zacchaeus set aside all of the other business affairs that day to see Jesus. It wasn't by chance that Zacchaeus took that road. It wasn't by chance that Zacchaeus found the tree. All of it was planned of the Lord. It's not by chance you're here today. You might say, "Oh, but preacher, I decided to come today." Inside yourself, you might have maybe said that, yes. The Lord decided you'd be here today. The Lord said that on this Sunday, you would be in 6 miles cross under God's word. And Zacchaeus, he comes and he's up that tree, and the Lord is walking past. The Lord stops. He looks up and he sees him. You know what's interesting? You ever watched a rugby match? Or a football match? You know, before the match starts and all of the teams are lined up, especially more so in the rugby, I see it these days, in those international matches, they're all lined up. Some royal figure or the president of Ireland will come out. The captain will step forward from the team and he'll take the president, or he'll take along the member of the royal family, whoever it is, and he'll take them along the line. He'll introduce them. This is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. As the president of Ireland, he's looking up at every single one of them. No one needed to tell Jesus who Zacchaeus was. No one turned round to Zacchaeus or turned round to the Lord and pointed up and says, "That man is called Zacchaeus. That man is a tax collector. That man is a thief." No, the Lord knew. The Lord knew where he would be. The Lord knew his name. The Lord knew who he was. The Lord knew his heart. That's why the Lord said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." You know, the exact same can be said of you today. Jesus knows all about you. He knows your name. He knows your life's history. He knows your heart. And the invitation that was given to Zacchaeus that day is given to you today, in and through the gospel, and in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in and through his precious word. Whoever you are, make haste and come. You must come. You know how many times in Scripture do we read that invitation, "Come"? Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 4:29, the woman goes into this city after sitting there at the well with the Lord, and she goes into that city and she says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Revelation 22:17, right there at the end of the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Lord Jesus, he gave that invitation to Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come." Zacchaeus, he came down out of that tree. Verse 6. He made haste and he came. You know, Zacchaeus and the Lord, they met for the very first time there at the foot of the tree. Never been apart since. Men and women, boys and girls, the only way for salvation is you must come to the foot of the tree. You must come to the cross. You can't be saved just by coming to church. You can't be saved just by having those little moments of religion here and there. You can only be saved if you come to the cross. For there at the foot of the cross, you must cast all of your sin upon Jesus as He hangs upon that tree on your behalf. You must take all of your sin, you must lay them upon Jesus, believing that He is the one and the only one who can take away your sins. Zacchaeus, the invitation was given, Zacchaeus, make haste and come. And what did he do? He came down out of that tree as quick as he could, and he ran to the Lord, and there at the foot of the tree, he met with Jesus. The invitation given once. As I said it last week, the only one time invitation. There was only one opportunity. And just like Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, he took it. And he came. Tell me, what will you do with the invitation today? Make haste and come. You come to Christ. Will you meet Him today at the foot of the tree? Foot of the cross. The invitation to Zacchaeus. Thirdly and finally, I want you to see the transformation of Zacchaeus in the verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. These words did not save Zacchaeus. These words show Zacchaeus was saved. Gone was the thief. Gone was the greed. Gone was that lust for money, that materialistic lifestyle. Christ now lived in the heart. He was the Son of God now, adopted into the family. Old things had passed away. All things became new. Do you notice what he called him? He called him Lord. He called him Lord. King of my life, I cry thee now. Zacchaeus not only came in saving faith to the Lord, believing that the Lord could save him, he not only met him at the foot of the tree, but he gave his life and he says, You're now Lord. My life's yours. No longer did he want to steal. He wanted to give. No longer did he want to make people's lives miserable. He wanted to make people's lives comfortable. He realized that the possession he had was not gold or silver or jewels. He had Christ. His greatest possession now, he realized it was never the money, it was never the jewels. The greatest possession he ever had was the soul. And he'd given it to the Lord. See, what does Mark 8:36 tell us? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Men and women, there's no greater possession you have than your soul. It's eternal. Understand that. That is the only part of you which is eternal. It's your soul. We will cast off these bodies in death. We will put off the carnal flesh. The soul lives on. It's your greatest possession. Have you given it to Jesus? Do you notice the order in verse 8? Martin Lloyd-Jones was a stickler for the order in the Bible. As he would have been teaching his students, he constantly was bringing them back to the fact, look at the order in which a verse is written. Because look at it here. What does Zacchaeus say? He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. It had been the other way around. Zacchaeus would have had money left. But he began by saying, Lord, half of it I give away, and then the other half I have left. If I've stolen anything, I'll give each person back fourfold. If he had said, Lord, I'll give the fourfold back and then I'll give half of what is left to the poor, he would have been left with something. But no, he says, Lord, half's gone immediately and I return fourfold, which means I'll never have a penny again. And no doubt for the rest of his life, he would have been paying everything back. The house would have gone. The material wealth would have gone. The jewels would have gone. The gold would have gone. The silver would have gone. Everything gone. The old life completely cast aside. Giving it all up, Lord. I don't want my sin. And I don't want the sin of that greed ever coming near me again. I don't even want the temptation of it, Lord. I'm giving it all up. That's a change in the man that the Lord can do. The Lord can cure from all sin. The Lord can sober the drunkard. The Lord can cure the drug addict. The Lord can cure the gambler. The Lord can cure the wife beater. The Lord can cure each and every sin that is found in a man today. He can make them new creatures in Christ. If they but come. Come to the foot of the cross. Come and meet with Christ. Come, Lord. What about you today? We bring our meeting to a close this morning. It's been that transformation in your life. It's been that time in your life when you met with Christ at the foot of the old rugged tree. Old things passed away, all things new. Oh, men and women, boys and girls, you've only had that desire up to now to see Jesus but never meet with him. I plead with you in my Savior's name, come to the cross today. Meet with him today. Don't just look at him from afar. Don't just see him as he passes by, but rather meet with him. Just as the Lord stopped with Bartimaeus in the road into it, just as the Lord stopped with Zacchaeus in the road out of Jericho, so the Lord will, in his mercy, will stop today and will take you unto himself if you but come. Come believing, come receiving. Come to Jesus Christ today. Will you? Don't leave it off another week. Don't leave it off even till tonight. Come to Christ now.